Toward the end of Solomon's inspired thoughts about the relationship between fallen man and righteous God, we call it the Proverbs, the king pens this verse. It is simple and yet profound. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. This verse is poetic. It contrasts the fear of man with trust in the Lord. In so doing, God teaches that fear and trust are really very similar and even synonymous often in Scripture. Three things are important right now, this day, to understand. What does it mean in everyday life to fear man rather than fear God? Secondly, what are the consequences of our choice to do one or the other? And thirdly, what does the fear of God look like in your life and mine? How to fear God daily. Well, let's start right in here with these. What does it mean in everyday life to fear man versus fear God? The truth is that there is no person safe in this life from this choice. In other words, this choosing between fearing men or fearing God. It is actually an almost daily choice. There are times when we can go months or even years without actually having to consciously make that choice, secure in the thought that we do trust God more than man and his world or institutions. But then there are times like these, times that bring real fear, and the world right now is scared out of its wits. Fear is driving the narrative. The worst case scenario is our daily bread. Anyone expressing hope is said to be out of touch or not taking the thing seriously. The fear of man. God says that the fear of man brings a snare. A snare is actually a noose for entangling birds or mammals, often laid on the ground. It is a trap by which someone is entangled. You cannot walk or run to escape, and it is full of miseries like death or slavery. And it has a certain attractiveness to it. If it were not, men would not walk into it. The fear of man can be seen in our aversion to being disapproved of or thought ill of. It can make us moot when we ought to speak, or frozen in place when we ought to act. What if I'm wrong, we think? What if I don't know what I'm talking about? Or in this case, everyone will accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist or just not caring that thousands are dying from this horrible virus. Fear of man can and does silence hope. This is Satan's world we live in, and he controls its institutions, and he controls its narrative. If the world wants us to live in fear and despair, you better not be the one to say otherwise. Man is growing increasingly insistent that our destinies are in our own hands alone. The future of the planet is up to us. Whether we live or die from corona is up to us and whatever man tells us to do or think. Trust the science is almost a daily refrain now, even though today's science is totally different from the science of 2 months ago, and will change again when all the fear, there's that word again, has finally receded. For now, fear is driving everything, and with it comes almost a zombie-like willingness to believe man rather than to believe God. I think we could say, without stretching the truth, that we will trust what we fear. We will yield to what we fear. We will even follow or obey the ones we fear. And it has walked the entire world into a snare of panic, fear, anguish, poverty, and hopelessness. In other words, a snare. Proverbs 29:25 again says this simply, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. And there's that word, that lovely word, but. Thank the Lord for all the times the dismal state of the world and mankind is countered with this simple word. Instead of putting our trust in mankind, who absolutely does not know what he is doing, certainly not now, and I would say probably never, Instead of yielding to man's evaluation of the world, we are given a clear and blessed alternative by God. We, that is to say you and me, can trust in the Lord and be exalted to a place of emotional and spiritual safety. God uses times like these to call his people to repent of trusting in themselves and trusting in man. He is giving his people an opportunity to reflect on our love for him and our confidence in his care. Such trust will allow you to love him. It is easy to love the one you trust above all others. So use these times to pray for and cultivate your love and your trust in God alone. He will help you because he wants you, according to Mark 12:30, to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Those who trust in the Lord, the second part of this verse, will be exalted. To be exalted in this verse means to be lifted up, taken out of the snare, the trap that brings pain, worry, fear, sleeplessness, and daily grief. To trust the Lord means to be exalted or placed in a safe place, a place of security and joy. It is the polar opposite of what the world is offering up these past few months. So what are the consequences of our choice to do one or the other? Our verse is teaching us the meaning of the fear of man. It means to put your trust in man and his evaluation, his explanation, and his solutions to our problems. God says if you do that, it leads you right into the snare that is set for your soul, for your mind, and for your heart. The fear of God, on the other hand, places your life into the loving care of God. It trusts God with your physical life. The enemy will say this is reckless and shows that you do not care about human life. This is the snare setter fighting back, the hunter trying to bait the trap with more goodies. Do not fall for this, my friend. Human life is way more than taking another breath. It is about peace of mind and love for one another, intimacy and caring and hope and joy. When you trust God, you embrace life, the life that God gives, not the shoddy imitation that man offers. Just to summarize, the fear of man means to trust in mankind and his solutions. It leads us into a miserable and a hateful deception. But the fear of the Lord is to trust God and his solutions. It leads you to safety, to exaltation of the soul, where God lifts you from the snare of this world and puts your heart and mind in his blessedly safe place. What does the fear of God look like in your life? Scripture tells us again and again to fear the Lord. This goes in one ear and out the other most of the time. But let's not let that happen today. Listen to what God is saying. Trust the Lord. Put your life safely into the hands of the Lord. This is such a wonderful and comforting command. Trust me, God says, and I will pull you to safety. Jesus put it this way, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Moses encouraged men by saying clearly what God required of them. Just listen to Deuteronomy 10:12-13. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. So what does God want from you? To trust him. He is God, and he can be trusted, and he can be loved by you. You can do it with a whole heart and without mental reservation. Notice that all God commands us to do is for our good. What a blessed reminder that is. Trusting God means believing what he says. You can trust God that he rules even viruses for his own purposes. He commanded the gourd to grow up over Jonah and shade him, and he commanded a worm to come and eat the gourd. He even commanded the fish to swallow Jonah, and all obeyed. Surely God commands simple viruses in the world. When Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell," he was telling us to not put our trust or our hope or our lives in the hands of men who only have control over our temporary physical lives. Men can only kill the body, and in the case of the disciples, that was a real possibility. Instead, we are to put our trust in God. He has control of all life. He is the source of all life, and he is infinitely loving and full of grace towards those who come to him. Now, how did I get all of that from this one verse? Because Jesus went on to say in Matthew 10, verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Do not fear what might happen in this life. Fear God instead. Trust God instead. He has proven his love for you at the cross, and you can trust him. Man, on the other hand, is a false god, an idol of the heart that can and does take the place of God every day. John Bunyan said, "The fear of man is the fear of losing man's favor, or his love, or his goodwill, his help, or his friendship. Even though all these things bring no lasting satisfaction, no peace, no affection or joy, false gods or idols always promise what they can never give." Why? Because they are not really gods at all. The Lord, our God, is not an idol. He delights actually in comparing himself to them for our benefit. Just listen to what he said to Habakkuk. "What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image, a teacher, or a falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, 'Awake,' to a mute stone, 'Arise,' and that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." May God help us to fear him in this totally biblical sense, to put our trust in him and not in mankind or his corrupted institutions, because the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Let's pray. Father, our hearts easily and quickly succumb to the fear of man. That's because we're men, and because we live in a fallen world, and we are assailed by it every moment of every day. And so we ask, Lord, send your Spirit to teach us your word. Bind it to our hearts. May Christ be exalted, and may we trust him with our physical lives and with our hearts and minds and souls. May we rest secure. May we come to Christ and have peace. We pray these things in the name of our dear and blessed Savior Jesus. Amen.